I'm Jim Stannard, listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 17 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at Crown Ash Development. As ever, I'm joined by Cookie.
Hello.
And Matt.
Good morning.
How are we, guys?
Yes, good, thank you.
Good, cold.
All good, yeah, very cold. Bit of snow in the air this morning. What have we got coming up on this week's episode?
Well, first up, we're going to catch up with the lowdown from Leighton Orient on Saturday.
Yep, and obviously after the game, you caught up with Neil Smith.
We're going to have our own version of the bill going on. We had your charity match last week against the police.
We catch up with Jim Stannard.
We look ahead to the game against Dagenham and Redbridge.
We've got the question that we needed answers from the fans from.
Yeah. We look at a more comical event from the trip to Leighton Orient on Saturday.
Oh yeah, that makes me news. I'm sorry, I'll butt in there. I just say we sort of bombed our question, didn't we?
Or two, and then we went with
who did we go? Whose question did we go with?
Your cookies,
Stephen.
Oh, Steve Denny's. Yeah, no, it was pretty good. Right, okay, so where to start? Probably the most important things: Brexit.
In or out?
Brexit means Brexit.
No, so of course, Orient on Saturday. Obviously, I mean, what was the crowd? Over 6,000 East Londoners turned out to come and watch the Ravens play, the old FA Trophy finalists in action. A fantastic crowd, I think, in total, was it over almost 600 Bromley fans made the trip, 548, something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We were having a conversation, I saw a bit on Twitter as well, with regards to that's possibly, I think, the highest away following for a normal league game, non-playoff, non-cup game.
I think you're right, yeah.
Someone shouted out Welling a couple of years ago away. I remember that. There's about 350, I think, that day. So I'm sure there's a stat out there that could probably correct us, as we're usually wrong. But with regards to the Orient game itself, obviously, Cookie, Matt, you were both on commentary duty. And I think we've got a brief snippet of your commentary from the day.
I think Sam Wood's going to send it to Goddard. And is he going to try? He's not going to try to get a shot away, is he? It's gone in. Oh, it's in!
Come on! Yes!
Done it! The crowd are running forward. Goddard has scored from the free kick. You did not expect it to go in from that angle. The ball has come across, back of the net. No one else around it. Bromley fans are in absolute raptures as the other 6,000 people at Brisbane Road go silent. Three people in the press box losing their mind. Me, Matt and Louis, and the rest of us now, well, we've made enemies with about the other 20 people here. Unbelievable from Bromley there. Bromley up against it with a more than depleted squad, injured, suspensions, everything. But Bromley have come through, done brilliant in the first half, and they've taken the lead.
Incredible scenes, Cookie.
John Goddard, what a player. What did I say before the game?
What a delivery. And you called it as well, Sam Wood putting it back to John Goddard, who swung it in with pace, and it's gone into the bottom corner. Nothing the keeper could do about it.
Wonderfully professional, unbiased commentary there, as always.
That's what we do.
Obviously, fantastic to take the lead, like we did. Like you said, I think you referred to it in the commentary, obviously, depleted squad, injuries, suspensions, etc. It was always going to be an uphill struggle, but I must admit, a lot of what I've read and a lot of what people have been saying, obviously quite proud of the performance and the application shown by the squad.
Definitely, yeah, it was a heavily depleted squad, seven key players missing, and it was just sort of one thing after another during the week leading up to it. However, that first half, I think we controlled it. That was a general consensus even of the Orient people, and you know, it was just unfortunate we had that chance early second half to go 2-0 up, John Goddard, and we didn't take it. And Cookie, I think you agree, we felt at that point then that gave Orient a foothold in the game to turn it around.
Yeah, they got back into it, but I mean, despite the, we say, depleted squad, take nothing away from the 11 that were out there, played with absolute passion. For me, Marc Anthony Okoye, he was so good. I mean, he's a fantastic defender, but playing in midfield in a position he did as well. And give a massive shout out to Alan Dunn,
yeah,
his first game back, his first start this year, obviously
very unfamiliar position.
unfamiliar position. How good was he for the 50, 60 minutes that he played?
Got his obligatory yellow card, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Alan's back.
But, yeah, he did play well for me as well. John Goddard shone in the first half particularly and was the best player on the pitch in that half, in my opinion. But, you know, we went there not expecting very much due to lacking so many players, and we put up a really good fight. And a big shout-out, as we've been saying, to the masses of fans that flocked to support us. They were really loud and proud.
Yeah, and even got chanting with some local residents as well, I think, got involved in the chant as well. But obviously, Leighton Orient did come back into the game. It wasn't to be for Bromley. They hit the equaliser, and then it took the second goal for them really to start being vocal. They'd done nothing before that. And then the third goal went in was really a consolation as we were chasing an equaliser, really, Matt, wasn't it?
Obviously, on the this point, it was quite a comical moment. On the speed spreading around on social media, I think Sky News have actually picked it up over on Twitter with regards to was it an Orient fan who was dressed as a full kit, you know what they call it, and he's in short socks, whole shebang, wasn't he, with the old, and he's impersonating one of our players warming up, doesn't he, or was he replicating everything he was doing,
copying him? Yeah,
it was the new signing, wasn't it?
Stephen
Oko.
Was that a trialist that they had signed?
Yeah.
Obviously, who better to give us a summary on the game than manager Neil Smith?
Neil, a 3-1 defeat to Leighton Orient, obviously a fantastic first half, and unfortunate really with the patch-up side to lose today.
I think so. I thought we, with a team that we had, you know, playing Dunny just coming back from his injury as well, going into a massive game like that today, I thought was outstanding for the time he was on the pitch. Go 1-0 up at half time, everything's going to how we planned. Second half, try and do exactly the same. And if Johnny goes through, puts that goal away, 2-0 up, I think that's a different game, and you know, they'll have to come at us and we might be able to pick them off. But as soon as they got that free kick, the crowd got behind them, and then it's always a difficult game.
And we were just speaking off camera, I think all three of those goals in one way or another slightly avoidable, would you say?
Of course, I don't think we need to give the free kick away that creates that free kick. I think the second goal, we're down in the 18 yard box at one end, and within 3 seconds they've gone up the other end and scored. And the third goal, I think, you know, Gregors has just held his hands up, could have done better, pushed it out in front of a crowded area, and they just stab it home. So yeah, they're all avoidable. I'm just going to go on the positives of what happened in the first half. They were outstanding. A club like this at the top of the league, full house, everyone behind them, and our boys withstood it.
And not to pick too many players out, but John Goddard for one, absolutely outstanding performance.
He was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant today. Took his chance. I thought George Porter never stopped running, coming to a club that he used to play for. And as I say, you know, just disappointed with the result. Performance-wise, I thought we did okay. I don't think it's a 3-1 result in terms of how we played. But as it is, you know, you look in the paper and that's what it's going to say.
Maybe feeling a bit frustrated. It's just about picking ourselves up now for the visit.
Oh, of course. Of course, we've got Dagenham at home. We want to turn things around. I'll have, hopefully, a full quota of players as well to choose from. No international duty, no injuries, you know, or very few. You just hope that we can put our best players out there and put a show on.
Neil, thank you.
Thank you.
Right, we're going to rewind now to just before the Orient game. Obviously, Friday night at Hayes Lane. Some of you may be aware we played host to a charity game. Cookie, you got some more details?
Yeah, so it was Bromley Staff versus the local Metropolitan Police, who I must point out at this stage, do play every week in, week out with each other. It was all in aid of St Catherine's Hospice, obviously a charity that's become very close to my heart, and it's to help obviously raise money for mine and Smudge's London Marathon target of £5,000. And the game, we saw raise over £200, which was it was fantastic. So thank you everyone who was very generous to put money in the tins on the Ravens Bar. But what a fantastic night. We treated it like a proper game. We come out to music, obviously, albeit not being the music that we wanted to come out to. We come out to the
family. I thought you, what did you come out to?
And then we have running commentary throughout the game.
I thought they would have requested the Bill theme tune.
But yeah, it was fantastic. Bromley did lose 5-2 despite having a very strong squad. But towards the end of the game, obviously there was 11 on the field each. We had no subs left, and this is me doing a full second half, so that shows you obviously what we had left in the tank.
Wow.
But I did assist Frankie Raymond in a goal. Not that I've gone on about it.
Oh,
much.
Yeah, not even heard about that.
Frank, did you?
Yeah, Frankie Raymond had a little run out. We'll get minutes in a big game, so we put him out for what, the first half.
No, it was very nice. There's a lot of players down there who came down and showed their support.
Andy, John and Georgie come down again. The second charity match and they attended. So thank you once again, our three biggest fans.
Did they get a refund from the first one?
And then obviously Sue Whittaker come down from the academy. Jackie Kat beyond the bar. Kat, well, the chef. Yeah.
George
and
Porter,
Nicola.
Jack Holland, Sam Wood.
Exactly. Shan, their support was incredible. And there's even in before the match, helping us with our team talk. Which didn't work.
It was all in good humour, wasn't
it? No, that's it. And obviously you can still donate if you go onto the Virgin Just Giving page, type in David Cook and in the search engine bit, and the link comes up. But also search through previous social media on the article on the website. There's a link there to donate to the charity for mine and Neil Smith's Virgin London Marathon.
Fantastic. How long to go?
5 months.
Blimey.
28th of April.
Jeez. It'll come around quick.
What's that? Is that a game after? Who've we got? Who've we got on the Saturday?
I thought it was Barnet away. It's not. It's Ebbsfleet at home.
The
game before.
Game of the season.
No, that's because the problem is we win the league. Obviously, we're in the playoffs. That's going to affect. That's obviously going to affect.
Yeah. Then I can't get out drinking. But
no. No, fantastic! Congratulations, mate. Next up, Matt. I said that because I don't know.
Yeah. Cookie's got the list, so we're just going to smoothly.
Next up, you've got an interview with Jim Stella.
Jim Stella, which is quite poignant, obviously, with the Dagenham game coming up.
Yeah, perfect timing. It's been long overdue, I think, us catching up with Jim. Took the opportunity, was having a chat with him a couple of days ago. And yeah, he's a very knowledgeable individual. Obviously, a lengthy career as a player, as a goalkeeper, very, very well renowned. And as a coach as well, has worked in some really high profile positions. So yeah, it was great to catch up with Jim earlier this week. This is what he had to say. Jim Stannard, welcome to Bromley Football Club. It has been a few weeks now. You've joined us as our goalkeeping coach. How are you finding it so far?
Yes, very interesting. At the moment, after leaving Dagenham FC over about 6 weeks ago, and then coming to Bromley Football Club, knowing that Neil Smith very, very well, he persuaded me to come to the club. He's looking like a good future for the club, so yeah, it's brilliant at the moment.
And how's it been to work with David Gregory? And obviously we've seen you've done a lot of work with Max Huckstra and some of the youth goalkeepers as well.
Yeah, I've come in, took David Gregory, looking very, very good. I think while I've been here for the 6 weeks period, I think he's done very, very well. I'm going to make sure that he gets fitter, sharper, hopefully push him on to the next level. With Max, he's done very well, injured at the moment with his finger. And I've taken some of the youth team players and the scholars who look very, very good.
And obviously you've had a very established player as a career as a player and as a coach. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I started my career at Fulham, ended up playing for them for 15 years. Moved on to Gillingham for a few years. In between that, I went to Southend. So I've had a decent career playing for Fulham, Southend and Gillingham. And then I've gone on to a coaching career where I've gone through Leyton Orient, Colchester, Dagenham, and then moved on to Crystal Palace with Neil Warnock, and then moved on to Southampton with Nigel Atkins. Got promoted from League One to the Championship to the Premier League. So in that sense of it, yeah, I've done very, very well.
And obviously, great facilities at this club. What's been your initial impressions of that since you joined?
Oh, it's been fantastic. The way the club's been run and looked at, I think it's got a great future with the new stand going up as well in the next 18 months. There's only one way, and it's forward at this moment in time.
Definitely. And finally, obviously, we play against your former side, Dagenham, on Saturday here at Hayes Lane. Looking forward to it?
Yeah, it's after being at Dagenham for 6 years, it's come very, very quickly. But it's going to be a tough game. I know all about Dagenham. Hopefully I can give the lads and the manager a bit of information about them, and hopefully we can collect the 3 points on Saturday.
Jim, welcome on board and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Nice to hear from Jim there. I've seen a few of his sessions up there with Gregors, and yeah, I must admit they're pretty intense.
Yeah, very impressive. His hands are huge as well, by the way. I just want to point out they are massive.
Yeah, it's great to catch up with him again.
that was my point.
That's the highlight, yeah, of Cookie's opinion. honestly, where else would you get this? Yeah, great interview with Jim. Great to catch up with him, and he's like Smudge, got some really, really interesting stories about about his past and where he's worked. And speaking of the game, obviously against Dagenham Redbridge here on Saturday, I managed to get a message from George Benson, media man at Dagenham Redbridge, on how their season's gone so far.
Yeah, it's been a really strange season so far for Dagenham and Redbridge Football Club. When Peter Taylor was appointed at the start of the year, he had a very limited budget to work with, and he had to bring in these young, hungry players that didn't have a lot of National League experience or a lot of experience in football, really. They'd all played for, you know, for academies or had come from lower levels, and it was just a squad that was put together very quickly, and they struggled at first. They really did struggle, and everything sort of changed when the investment from Trinity Sports Holdings came around, and we had the chance then to go out and spend some money and buy some players that had experience at this level and beyond. And you've seen with the likes of Jack Munns, who's played in League Two, he's starting to play well since coming back to full fitness. Manny Onorizzi, who's been signed from Rotherham on loan, he's a brilliant defender, and in the four games that he's played so far for the club, he's been absolutely fantastic. And then you've got Nathan Smith as well, who's a left back who's been out injured for the last three games, but in his opening match was very impressive despite the lack of match fitness. But the squad is sort of now coming together. Angelo Balanza is another one to look out for. He's been very good so far, chipping in with assists. Alex McQueen has come on in the last couple of matches, playing on the right wing. He's being played out of position at the start of the season at right back, but he's come into that natural position of right mid, and he's playing really well. The Daggers made it three wins from four matches on Saturday when they went up against AFC Fylde, a team that were unbeaten away from home, and ended up coming away with a 2-1 win thanks to goals from Jack Munns and our new loan signing, Connor Wilkinson, who's a striker that's joined from Gillingham in League One. It was actually a really good performance from the Daggers in the end. They went down a goal down really early on in the first minute, and then had to pull their way back into the game, first from Wilkinson's goal, and then Jack Munns just to complete the scoreline for a 2-1 victory. A good performance in the end from the Daggers, and hopefully we can repeat that on Saturday when we go up against Bromley.
Well, I hope you're wrong on that front, George, but nevertheless, big thank you there to George of Dagenham Redbridge for giving us an insight into our opposition, obviously, this coming Saturday. Like you said, there are three wins in the last four for the Daggers.
Yeah, the only defeat coming to Sutton on the 3rd of November, but before that, their form has been up and down, really. They lost six in their last seven, so we're hoping they hit that form when they play us, Matt.
Absolutely, obviously, the main point of that being the takeover and the massive investment, which has changed their fortunes a little bit. They've become very hard to beat. I remember them beating Harrogate as well, ending their long unbeaten run, and a massive victory over Fylde as well last week.
Yeah, very good. And also signing players like Shamir Mullins show they mean business. And I think there's even at one point...
Shambola!
There's even trying to get...
Is that Twitter?
Shambola, even trying to get Michael Cheat back, wasn't there, I think, at one point.
Where did he go last? Did he go to Forest Green Rovers or...
I think he went. He dropped down, didn't he? And then he went to Chelmsford, I think. And then
he went to Forest Green Rovers.
He did go to Forest Green Rovers.
A couple of clubs after us.
Okay.
Dagenham and Redbridge, just want to say sorry as well. Okay. They are 21st in league. They're at the last place in the relegation zones. A win for them this weekend could move them out for the the first time this season. Amazing. Am I right in saying?
Who's the this Trinity Sports Holding? Who's the he's a famous
Tim
player?
Howard.
Tim Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they own it. Do they own an MLS team? And
Jim Stannard left? Is that why Jim Stannard left, Dagenham? Is he taking over goalkeeping coach?
The goalkeeper.
Tim Howard? Yeah,
goalkeeping wars over there.
oh, okay.
Just touch on as well, obviously last season played Dagenham Redbridge twice, finished above them in the table actually, and we lost
quite
heavily, didn't we? 5-1.
That was off the back of Hartlepool, Orient, oh my God, we're going to be in a football league. Back down
right
to reality.
Back down to earth, yeah.
Typical Bromley fashion, that was.
It was, wasn't it? Not a good day, that. But when they came here on a Tuesday night later in the season, we did beat them by 3-1. So.
No, fantastic. I'm really hoping for a big crowd again. Absolutely. Obviously, following on from Peterborough, fantastic crowd. Really, really good to see Hayes Lane packed, absolutely rocking the atmosphere after that goal. It was just brilliant. And like I said, it'd be great to see what Saturday's crowd is going to bring. And on that note, we talk about staff and people that generally might not know who worked behind the scenes and everything. One of those characters is Scott. Scott's been cook, chef for, God knows, part-time, full-time for 10, 12 years. I don't know, it must be a hell of a long time. And people have their little sayings, they have their little quirks, they have their little... Some mannerisms, that's the one. When someone does an interview sometimes, you always go, you know.
And if it's me, fantastic.
Yeah, and if it's me, I always just pause or stutter or something like that. And with Scott's one is...
How many you reckon?
We managed to get him to do it on audio, so we're going to do a new feature now.
How many you reckon?
Oh, brilliant. Okay, so as the title suggests, it's an attendance prediction game, so we're going to start with a Dagenham game. Cookie, your prediction?
I think it's 1,471, and I'm going for 210 Dagenham Redbridge fans.
I'm going to say 1,388, and I'm going to go for 217 away fans.
It's not the price is right, isn't it? Do you remember when someone used to say a lot of price, and then the
we'll have to get some sound effects for that.
Higher
or lower? Was that Bruce? No, it wasn't Bruce, was it?
Bruce Fulton?
Yeah, was it not?
I thought it was.
Oh, maybe it was. Okay.
Good game.
What were we doing again? Prediction. 15-12 with 248 away fans is what I'm going for.
That's good.
Do we get a point? What are we going to do? We're going to do a point
for... We've got to do a pointing system.
We're going to have to do that moving forward.
Right, a pointing system where we get a point. Build them all up.
I like that.
Look at this. Improv.
Jeez. Right, moving on. Talk about Dagenham game. Supporters, don't forget, you can go online to the website, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. You can turn up at the football club during the week, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. I think we even accommodate over the phone if you want to purchase your ticket in advance and you're unable to get down here. Feel free to give us a call and we can sort of ticket it out. It's obviously cheaper when you buy your tickets in advance, right up until 1 o'clock on the day.
Yeah.
On the day. So don't forget, even if you're late on the day, you can do it. Obviously, for those unaware, Crystal Palace are away, I think, to United, I think. So obviously, you've got any football, you know, fans that support Palace, etc., you've got a free weekend, don't forget to encourage them, get them to come down again. They can buy their tickets in advance. And as always, the tickets are available on the door. The turntables open at 1:30. Right, next up, we're going to do our question of the week. Ooh. Which is always a bit of a car crash when we're trying to do it. Luckily, some fans have come to our aid this week. We came up with a question which we thought was a good question, but didn't really take on. I think it was, what was it, the most underrated Bromley player?
Yeah.
We'll have to do a feature on that at some point. Luckily, Steve Denny from Twitter has come in and saved the day, having but I think it was inspired by Leighton Orient.
Inspired by an event at Leighton Orient, which was quite a comical one. I don't think I didn't actually see it, Cookie, when it was there happening. But there have been plenty of pictures over social media, haven't there?
Yeah, so the difficulty is when we go away Leighton Orient, we're in a gantry, above the main
stand. We're in the
gods. So we don't see much, but obviously, I think there was a lady in the flats that sit next to the stadium.
Or inside the stadium.
Inside the stadium. She decided at, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon during a sellout crowd at Brisbane Road to hang out at washing. that sparked all of the Bromley fans to start chanting, "Get your washing out for the lads," which at least it wasn't crew, but it was funny.
That's brilliant. So, Steve Denny over on Twitter, what was his suggestion?
He's put, after seeing a lady at Leighton Orient hanging up her smalls in front of 500 plus Bromley fans whilst we are singing "Get Her Washing Out," made me think of a new topic for the podcast.
Podcast.
The funniest thing I've seen home or away. We've got some blinders. So that is a question. What's the funniest thing you've ever seen home or away?
Fantastic. I think we're going to keep this rolling for another week because we've had some great ones coming already.
I think we're going to
try and summarise them, are we?
So several people come out with, and this is a great thing about a question like this, it leaves it open. A lot of people come out with different ideas, but like Paul Hawhey come through and said straight away the hot dog pitch invader, which was the first game of the season against Tranmere, wasn't it?
Yes.
Two seasons ago.
Fantastic.
Samuel Adams and actually a few other people as well have said Gareth running onto the pitch in the match against Torquay. I think it was in the same season as the hot dog man. Those of you who remember Gareth, I think he was running after some sort of small rodent. Absolutely sprinting.
Well, you can't call the opposition players that.
And Dave Martin picking him up, and I just remember seeing the scratches on Dave Martin afterwards.
Yeah, look, we all know Gareth. You can't go around picking him up like that. He's he's amateur.
Only amateur. Jerry can pick him up.
For 4 years.
Pete Williams over on Twitter. Pre-season Wembley Cup game against Romford in '98 wasn't played in a particularly friendly spirit. During one heated moment, the legendary Keith Sharman's missus entered the field to offer him some calming words. But he also goes on, but to be honest, it's still Eddie Akimoa slicing it into the roof of his own net right after kissing the Sutton badge. I must admit, a few people have come out with that one.
This is a brilliant one. Philip Dodd over on Facebook. Away at East Thurrock, a few of us were distracted by a goat up a tree.
Simo on Twitter. When we retweeted, I didn't think about it first. I thought, I wonder how long it's going to take. And you know what? I could have put my money on it being one of these. Simo, has anyone mentioned Ryan Hall's long range goal against AFC Wimbledon? Yeah, we're still laughing about that. And then Steve the Greek's put up the photo of that flag.
Yeah, funnily enough, Scott Marquis has gone for that one as well.
We've got another one, Louis Mendes. He said about the title winning season against Boreham Wood, the time wasting where the photographer got involved and kicked the ball out twice and got sent off.
Yeah, Ed Boylan came on that one. He went, yes, he was a Boreham Wood photographer. He got frustrated by how long goal kicks were taking, so he punted the ball back. It ended up across the other side of the pitch, and the ref told him to leave the side of the pitch.
I think my personal favourite, where's your Christmas tree? Where's your Christmas tree?
Oh, backstory.
Ian McLean. St Albans title winning season. We played, like I said, St Albans at home. We won the game 1-0. Moses Emmanuel late goal, and St Albans fans, fair play to them, were more interested in the Christmas trees we had on sale.
Oh my gosh,
the discounted Christmas, heavily discounted.
This was obviously the failed takeover period, the promotion league and everything, and there was numerous mental things going on down here, including discos in the marquee when the game was going. One of them, the genius ideas was, let's sell some Christmas trees out the front of the stadium. So that was a completely new one to me. I mean, we've done some things in our time, but that was unique. And I remember I was just selling for a tenner. I can't get rid of them. What date was the game? It must have been Christmas already. I don't know. And it was you came in the turnstiles, and just to the left outside Jim Brown's club shop, poor old Jim Brown, were a load of Christmas trees. And like you said, this away fan tenner bought one. And all I remember being from the tunnel was you could see a Christmas tree just poking up above the advertising board, and it was just moving left and right, left and right. And then the funniest thing ever was at the end of the game, he jumped over the advertising board, ran up to the centre circle and planted it on the centre circle.
And this day all threw their flags on it during the game and everything. I remember that was fantastic. Just having a look through for some more.
Oh, it's a great one. Steve the Greek, I do remember this, and the footage is somewhere. And I do apologize, we've got to find this. But this was Bishop Stortford away. I think it was FA Cup possibly, or league, I can't recall exactly. But some of our fans ended up within the goal mouth area of the pitch following a goal going in and ran around the goalkeeper and smashed the ball back in the back of the net. And I think the goalkeeper got the football and smashed it back of him. And who was it? Was it Rich? Oh, I think it was Simo. Did he hit the back of his head? Hit the back of his head. And I remember at the time, me and Tim, we were quite young but naive. I think we were very, very privileged to be able to do the official highlights at the time, and I remember we just put the goal celebration on the highlights. And I remember Colin Russell coming over and so you can't put that out. We had to edit it and take it down.
There was another one, GJ, that's GAJ75 on Twitter. A couple of Bromley fans fell asleep in the middle of a busy roundabout on the walk from Aylesbury Station to the ground back in the 90s.
Talking about Lloyd over on Twitter, the police at Woking in September 91, he warned us at half time for jumping up and down. Simo said, just wait till we score a winner. And sure enough, as Pat Gordon slid home in the 90th for a 2-1, we were all charging down the terrace, spinning him out of the way.
I've got two here, quick ones from Mark Avenel, actually, some good ones. Ron Coombs running the line when an official was injured. He gave a free kick to Bromley outside the box, and Solomon Taiwo hit a perfect free kick. Bashley then refused to come out for the second half until a new official could replace Ron. We lost 5-3 in the end, and he's got some photos of Ron somewhere. And another one that he's put
as
well, Romford away, after one of our fans threw the last bit of a bacon sandwich on the pitch, upset with the referee's call, and the Romford keeper then picked it up and finished it off. There's another part to that story, but best left to the fanzine.
David G. Parker over on Twitter, Chuck Martini squaring up to an opposition fan some years ago during a game, can't remember when or why, but it's an early memory of that side. Chuck, Bartley and co took no grief from anyone.
Mash says Pete being slung out of the ground at the Met Police one night after questioning the alleged corruption of the false. There's so many memories. It's brilliant. This has gone.
I really enjoyed it. And I must admit, people will listen to this now, and I'm sure they'll think of some new ones. And hopefully, you can get in touch, and you can let us get my words out. You could drop us a tweet, send us a message over on Facebook, or the email is podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk. There's a few that we haven't mentioned there, but we'll summarise them with all the new ones we get over the next week or so, and we'll make sure we get them all read out on next week's episode. I think that might be all we've got time for.
We've just got to remind people, I think, how to get in touch.
Yeah, obviously for the podcast, you can email us podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk or go on Twitter @BromleyFC.
Using the hashtag Ravens Weekly.
Of course, mate, loves his little hashtag Ravens Weekly, doesn't he?
I think it's taken off a little bit.
It's starting to, it must have been. It's getting there. Okay, so a big thank you again to everybody who downloads, listens and puts up with us every week. A big thank you to our friends at Crown Ash Developments who sponsor the podcast. I think they've got free tables in the Exec Club this weekend. So it'll be nice to welcome them. That's big thank you to them for their support. Like we said, Saturday, Bromley versus Dagenham. It's going to be a fantastic day, hopefully. Maybe, is it cold?
A fantastic day.
We've got some beanie hats on sale in the club shop.
The more of you come, the more you can all huddle together for body warmth.
So as ever, www.bromleyfc.co.uk for all the tickets and all the information. Again, big thank you, and we'll be back again next week. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.